Hello, I am Eddie.
I'm Meg.
And I am Donovan.
And this week on the podcast, it's the Spring Roundup. We're going to talk about Indie South, non-terrarium.
Dioramas. Diorama of the mouth.
Yep.
We're going to talk about the heat. We're going to talk about the rain.
We're going to talk about all the text messages I sent myself earlier.
What color is a spring meadow?
Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. Okay, we're here.
Okay.
In answer to Donovan's question, I'm going to say yellow, pink, purple, and green.
Spring meadow.
Shall I compare thee to a spring meadow?
Yellow would, just the green is the color?
The green is the leaves.
Okay.
The blades of grass, the leaves of the flowers.
The stalks?
Yeah.
And stems.
Yeah. And leaves.
And leaves. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. All green.
All green. And the rest of those fruity-ass colors.
I kind of feel like the spring palette is pastel, right? Like,
right.
It's that Easter pastel.
I love it.
That kind of implies to me that the buds of spring don't have the saturation of color that they will later have when summer comes. That's when you get the real high saturated colors in the meadow.
The spring meadow.
The summer meadow.
So, on my static grass odyssey, mm-hmm. I have the first one that I purchased is spring meadow, and it looks like fake turf. Now that I'm looking at it and like I spread it on different things, it unless it's mixed with something else, it looks like it's down at like Cowboy Stadium or something.
Okay. Because the height of the grass is...
Not the height, just the
just
color.
The color. Okay.
The color is totally like AstroTurf.
Okay.
And then this other one I have is the same height, but it's fall, mm-hmm. and it looks much more natural. But they're both 6mm, which is the longest, and it's unrealistic. I definitely need to get some shorter static grass if I want to make dioramas look more realistic.
Or if, like, they don't need to be mowed.
Yeah. Like, you know, they've been untended and left by man.
So how did you get into dioramas? And like, what is it? Explain it.
He's explained this on the podcast before. It's on top of a Copenhagen lid, from what I remember.
Yeah, it was not Copenhagen, a Snus General.
Oh, okay.
General is the brand. But because I was painting miniatures and I was basing them, and I realized that that's what actually made them look more realistic was when you put them on a like a realistic scene.
Mm.
It more brought it to life. And then I figured, you know, how can I capitalize on this? And that brought us to where we are today, where I'm practicing ways to make them look better so that maybe my coffer might get a coin or two on the side.
Do you like landscape paintings?
Yeah, I like landscape paintings over like paintings of specific subjects.
What's your favorite landscape that's painted? Like, because there's like the swamp, you know.
I like the snowscape a lot.
Oh, I like a snowscape.
I have a painting that looks like maybe it was a Bob Ross. It was one of the first things we ever bought off eBay. This was in like 1997. My parents and I, because I had it. I looked at it. And they purchased it. But anyways, it's mm-hmm. just a cabin in a night snowscape. And it's very nice.
That sounds pretty.
Painted by L.
Ooh, capital L.
Eddie, same question. What's your favorite landscape?
Yeah, I'm thinking like Arcadia National Park or Acadia National Park. There's okay. like this, there's like this scene, or it's a scene. It's a photograph, and it's taken like, I guess a photograph's not a landscape though, but you someone can paint the photograph, and it's just like a big lake, and then like a snow-capped mountain in the background with like pine trees kind of lining the horizon, and I'm like that. That's awesome. That's majestic.
Okay, these are definitely both like Bob Ross's.
And there
territory.
Are definitely photographs of landscapes. I've seen many, many puzzles of them.
Yeah, I'm like, thinking of a puzzle.
When,
of it.
Okay. Exactly. When we were at Paradise, we looked at the most photographed view in the Smoky Mountains, and I was like, I've definitely seen a puzzle of this view, without
right,
a
right,
doubt.
Right.
We tried to get up to the most photographed view tower.
Observatory
you remember
tower.
That tower, man?
But it was locked.
Yeah, they were closed for the season.
Wait, going where?
It, you know, up in the Black Mountains.
Oh, right. I do remember
that. There's
that
tower that you have to climb up.
So we didn't go up it? I thought we did go up it, and
we
saw
did,
all
but
of the...
He and I did not. Like,
oh.
It was closed for the season. They're like...
Oh, okay.
And it was for sale, too.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds like another investment.
Well, they did have a, like, very ridiculous, huge gift shop, I
yep.
recall.
Yeah. And
yeah,
it was,
see,
I think it was
I can
like,
fill it with tiny landscapes.
In, like, 500 years, though, right? Like... To fill an entire gift shop?
I was thinking, actually, how much do you think I could charge for one of these small? I'd say it's probably 4x4 landscapes.
How
can
much
I be
you spend
totally
on it?
Honest
yeah,
with you?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, so this is a phenomenon that I, from my perspective, that is like a little ridiculous. It's like people making things that take so much time. That there's no way they could charge an amount that's
yeah,
reasonable.
Absolutely. Like my boss today said like $15.
Right.
And that's reasonable if I was doing, which I think I could, like four at a time.
Right.
And then it would be worth it. But right now just doing the one, it took me about 2 hours to assemble.
Right.
So it's not worth that. But if I could do the four in the 2 hours,
yeah.
it might be more worth it.
Yeah, like, but there's an,
oh, like
there's this desire to
exactly.
be like, oh, this is like something I'm passionate about, and you know.
So you think they make better gifts than they do saleable items?
No,
I was also,
I think you could sell them, but you would need.
I have better.
Are you going to put a figurine in it?
At first, I was going to put them in like shadow boxes on the wall, which I first initially do, but now I got another idea that I can just make round. Wooden bottoms, and then make tumbler glass. Just take tumbler glass I got at the thrift store.
Now that's pretty neat.
To put over the top,
because that definitely takes it. It takes it just out of the perception of craft into art.
I think you could charge a thin mint for it if you put like a small painted figure of Wolverine standing in there.
That is
like you would get sued the fuck out of. But you could charge $50.
I don't
know.
No, first of all,
it'd be so small.
First
potatoes.
Of all, I don't think I'd get sued. I could sell.
You
it
don't
eBay,
think so?
And I would not get sued. But
you
that's
could totally,
fucking ridiculous.
It's, yeah,
no,
it's ridiculous.
I think that's ridiculous.
It's gimmicky.
And it's totally
gimmicky,
the,
and
what the
it
scene
would,
is.
It would
but.
Sell.
Okay, I'm thinking maybe more Count Dracula. And
okay.
actually, they had small these figurines on. On Amazon that I was looking at, just browsing today, they just have like the African woman with like the fruits on
oh,
her
yeah.
head
oh, yeah,
in
yeah.
the street. I could maybe have that. Like,
no.
No. I don't
oh, they also
so.
Have Cinder Claus or Santa Claus.
Maybe if you put like an elephant statue or...
Actually, I have a good idea. Like put Athens like... celebrities and like
yeah yeah
stifles away
yeah and then make it like the trestle bridge
I don't
that
know.
Would be really
I don't
cool.
know
or that,
how
that water
to
tower
make it look like Michael Stipe
no,
make that, their head gigantic is that the only way
you know that water tower that's really like popular
totally you should do Athens
yeah no
scenes.
I thought about that already yeah
and
no
I think
no me
that's
too
where
like
the
tree that
be.
Owns itself
Ben's
yeah
bikes.
Totally
like put Ben's
oh my gosh that is
you
such
think,
a cool
you
idea
think I can make
actually.
One of these look like the tree that owns itself just because I put the dumb little lights around I mean the very nice little lights around
well you're the where the place you have all your stones could be that cobblestone street
yeah
I feel like tree that owns
sucks
itself.
To drive up.
I take the kids up and we're like, we go. Bum, 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 bum,
so you have to dart traffic and risk the children's lives
exactly.
just to go up the cobblestone.
But I must admit, a tree that owns itself in this quality of thing that you've developed could go for up to $100.
Yeah, with a tumbler glass over it. With you put the tumbler glass
like,
over it, I think you can go 120.
Wow.
Well, that's like it doesn't even have to be tumbler tumbler glass. I think, yeah.
You know, but just like you frame it so that it is like presentable as art.
And it's good because it's very easy to get hold of little miniature stoplights.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
I could make it so that they turn on. So the tree that owns itself, I wouldn't really be able to make the little lights around it light up very easily, but I could have the stoplight that lights the tree that owns itself.
Nice. Yeah. There's no stoplight there, though.
Or, I'm sorry, street light.
Oh, street light.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
No, that's cool. I like that idea.
You could do Ben's bikes covered in snow.
Ugh.
You don't do buildings.
No, I'm thinking like trestle bridge would be a cool one. The tree that owns itself. What are other natural...
This is also one of my original ideas. This same little landscape I've made here, which is like a small hill with two sycamore trees in fall, like next to maybe an old retainment wall.
Right.
It was supposed to look like a creek bottom, but it looks more like a retainment wall.
Mm-hmm.
But beneath one of the trees, before I put the grass down, I put a little stack of stones and a cross. So it looks like a little grave.
Yeah, a little
grave. Then I put the grass on top of it.
Nice.
Do you think, does that add a little bit something different to
this one?
To any of them.
Yeah. Oh, yes, to this one, definitely.
To this one, too.
I think it gives it a mystique.
Does that work with the samurai? I guess the sycamore trees don't work with the samurai.
No, the samurai are in spring grassland.
Okay.
I'm not going to F with that sort of stuff for a while.
So you could do like Confederate soldiers.
A little dead... Or maybe like
that double barrel cannon thing.
Oh, the double barrel. Yeah, but see, that's where he's creating the landscape. He's not creating the object.
No, I'm just saying, put one little stupid figurine in the center of that, and it like doubles or triples the price.
I think
you don't even have to paint the figurine.
Desi was saying maybe if I made a little white rabbit, because I was thinking maybe three trees, and she said if I put the third tree in there, I'd need to add something to maybe take the perspective from the trees. And I was thinking I could probably mold a little rabbit out of the stuff I have called green stuff and then paint it white and maybe be able to add that to the scene.
So I think you're finding your artistic voice here.
Yeah, this is number two.
Do you want number two? That's the poop.
Yeah. That's poop. That's why it's brown on the bottom.
just poop
so
out.
Do you have artistic integrity outside of making money off of these things? Like, is this more about like...
I care. I want it to make it look good. Like, I definitely want... to fill the place that I'm looking at when I build it, you know, I don't want it to look campy or in such a way that it's definitely art to me, just like Bob Ross's paintings are art to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what do you want to say to the person that you're giving it to?
Actually, so this is perfect. Cause you know, tell you guys that I gave one to the producer.
You gave one to your,
And
yeah, and he was stoked.
Finish that thought. Who did he give it to?
He said it.
The production manager of the Georgia Theater.
Oh, I think I was out of the room when that was said. It wasn't on air.
We didn't talk about that on air. Okay, anyways, I gave my first one of these. Since this is number two, I gave Pee-Pee, number one, to the production manager. Because the initial reason is because they're down in like a little hole that they work in at the Georgia Theater, like down in the basement.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted it to be like a nice little hill landscape. So when they're down in the hole, they can be like, oh, well, there's the outside, you know?
Oh, that's sweet.
And I kind of want, you know, when people look at these to be like, oh, there's like a beautiful, you know, landscape. Yeah. It's kind of like being in rotten New York. You can be like, oh.
Totally.
Here's.
So is it, is that one framed that you gave?
No. Okay. It's just like this, but a little bit smaller.
I love that idea. And I also feel like I'm totally vibing on that. Athens, the natural landscape of Athens, if you can tune into that.
And kind of in tune to that also, but not exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of little palm trees, and I think I'm going to get a strip of road and maybe make it like L.A. or Scottsdale, make like a little L.A. or Scottsdale strip of road. I know that maybe not a peel out heel, but I think it'll look nice.
Yeah.
Just lined with the palm trees on each side.
Excited to see that one. And I'm also excited for you to get into the water features.
Oh, yeah. We'll see about that.
Okay. I imagine there's a lot of different ways you can do water.
Yeah, I think you have a pure artistic idea. And I think...
I definitely want to monetize it.
You might need to just stick Wolverine in the center of that one to like fund your project.
Yeah,
because,
exactly.
Like, how much did that cost?
Oh, no, because... the trees, I got a 10-pack for $5 off of Amazon because they were used, mm-hmm. but they were in fine shape. So used, exactly, used little trees.
I don't know,
and then
lowering
the amount of grass is like negligible cents. So because yeah. everything else was free. So really, maybe $1.10.
Oh, okay.
Plus so, yeah. 2 hours of work.
No, that's
which
good,
is
well,
waiting for stuff to dry too, which wasn't that big of a
so
deal.
You're, yeah, so the, if you did have a production going.
What took the most work was
quickly.
Putting the stones in there that look unrealistic.
So $100 so could, an hour, that's $250 for that thing.
That's what I need.
You need to stick Wolverine in the center of it, though. All right.
Yeah, no, and then I can already hear the theme song of the X-Men.
Yeah, yeah.
Cartoon. Exactly.
You had a story about the craft fair?
Indie craft.
Oh, my story about the craft fair. Yeah, there are just some things there where I'm like, oh, I like that. And it does, I can see the fine craftsmanship that was put into this. But then I look at the tag and I'm like, but I could just buy something like, I could buy the knockoff, like, or the one made in a sweatshop that is going to look exactly the same for like 1/20th the amount that you're charging.
You think that they can make these in sweatshops?
No.
I don't know. No, I mean, but it's just the kind of, it's sometimes it's like the person's kind of like asking you to get on board with their
yeah,
passion.
Totally. I understand that. It's like when someone has been babying their car and sinking all kinds of money into it. Then when they go to sell that car, they want all the amount of money they put into it back.
Right.
Right.
Which is unrealistic.
Right.
So you want a dollar for that?
No. I think $25 for that would not be like super unreasonable, like when presented exactly correctly, you know.
We'll take a picture and post it on our Twitter. And if you want to pay $25 yeah. for it, just
I think 100% if you make it site specific, then uh-huh. the value goes up because then people have a sentimental attachment.
We have to
exactly.
stop talking about this. Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Story about the craft fair.
I thought that was the story about the craft fair.
Yeah, that? No, just the
well,
people.
What? Just the idea that like
passion projects
gonna,
aren't worth trying to sling. They make yeah. passion projects are better gifts.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I feel yeah that's true. And the people that are successful at craft fairs are kind of detached from
their art.
Yeah, yeah. It's like,
and they're pounding them out.
I make these things like 100 at a time, and here you go.
Right.
But, you know, we did run into some like jewelry smiths that were like, you know, oh yeah, all these trends. I'm not going to like follow the trends. I'm going to like do my own thing. And we talked about the trends in fashion.
Yeah, that was
and
really
how
funny.
That like relates to craft fairs, because I don't know if craft fairs are the they're on the front lines of trends.
Well, they're on the trends of jewelry specifically.
Maybe now, but traditionally, when I was a kid, craft fairs really had garbage.
Oh, like, totally.
Like 4th of July craft fair at Sholo Park. Fucking gag.
Like a,
it's like
bad.
A knit potholders.
Yeah, it's like potholders, like literally cabins made out of fucking popsicle sticks and stuff that like someone's made and they're trying to charge you
or
for.
Or like a puff paint sweatshirt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, face paint that looks like shit.
I always loved craft fairs, even when it was a puff
there's,
paint sweater.
That's you were exactly everyone's mom does, and that's how those things still exist. And they haven't stopped. Like I was at one in Paradise, California, before it burnt down, like 3 years ago. It was still the same garbage, like wind chimes and like skulls that like someone always has to have a cow skull hanging in the back of their little tent.
Oh, right.
And then they're selling like bolo ties.
One thing that I see a lot of, I haven't seen it so much this year, but I've seen a lot of either solo cups or mason jars made into like chalices.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. That's a big.
And that's like, okay, you're going to charge $100 for that one? Right on.
Or like melted wine bottles made into wind chimes.
Yeah, that happens. Yeah. Yeah.
My mom has a bunch of mason jars, which she's turned into lamps around her back porch.
Oh, that sounds nice. It sounds homey.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but that's like...
folksy.
I mean, that's the puff paint of our time, right?
Uh-huh.
But there
I was thinking about making a puff paint shirt.
No, I like them. I have a Big Trouble in Little China puff paint shirt that was made for me. That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
It looks just like Jack Burton's shirt from the movie.
The airbrush store at the mall where they could like just airbrush whatever onto whatever.
Wolverine standing in a grassy field.
Shit. I have two of those. Yeah, the airbrushing and the puff painting were signs of the time.
I want to give a shout out to Indy South because I thought it was really cool. Yeah, like there was some excellent stuff and I made some really fun purchases.
They had a guy and he was making chandeliers that were just glass, like encased in lead, almost like stained glass 3D art sculptures.
Yeah, but they were specifically to highlight the light spectrum. Like,
right, so they had...
What do you call those? Prisms, yeah.
They were, I think they were just lenses.
I think it's like prismatic glass.
Refraction.
Like he was saying it was a specific kind of glass.
I'm sure he was. We adjust his glasses.
Man, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Eddie.
No, I understand a lot about the electromagnetic spectrum. I know a lot about optics, and I feel like you guys are...
Producer of the year.
No, I don't doubt him. I know that he does know a lot about those specific things.
So let's say what you guys said was correct.
You know, Eddie, sorry. Go on.
Anyway.
I'm bowing to you when it comes to knowledge of light refraction.
Cool. They're
like really cool like centerpieces, but then when the light passes through them, they cast these like magnificent shadows.
Oh yeah, like sailboats.
No, just like you know how you can like invert something on your paint program, and it'll do like an inverted look. You'll have this like sculpture.
Sepia.
Yeah. And then it's like the filtered version of that on the ground. Which
yeah,
is pretty
dude.
Cool.
Sepia.
We
he's
bought
like,
one.
He's like, take this out. Take this one out into the sun.
Yeah.
He had one that was like on a chain, and it was like. Probably 2 feet, 2 feet square, like a 2 feet cube.
Yeah, it was large and
like,
heavy.
He took it out and it was so beautiful. And I was like, do you make anything bigger? And he's like, no.
And I commented to Eddie, I was like, how could you have that hanging from your ceiling? You'd be like terrified that it was going to fall down and shatter everywhere. Just,
you hang it securely.
You get people to hang it for you.
But still, it's like, well, do I trust his craftsmanship to where this spins and like glass isn't going to start jutting out everywhere? Or
that's important.
Flying out everywhere. But then Eddie made the comment of like, that's what a chandelier is. It's just this huge glass thing above your head.
Chandeliers are kind of cool now that I think about it because they're really dangerous.
Yeah, I've seen the action movies. Many action.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that chandelier always comes down.
Yeah, on
somebody's head.
Dick Tracy.
It goes through the
this
floor.
This happens
like,
in the
oh, okay.
The, maybe the finest movie ever made.
There are two main action sequences, and it's like a couple people diving out of the way of a chandelier, and then a couple people diving out of the way of an explosion. You know, like that's like action movie 101. I think both of those scenes are in Last Action Hero with Arnold.
Yeah. I think they're probably both in Die Hard.
I was thinking Die Hard specifically.
If you do your action movie right, you got both of those.
Spawn. It's in Spawn.
I think it's in like one of the Dark Knight movies.
It is definitely. I was thinking that too, but I didn't want to say him by name.
Now we might have just figured it out.
There's probably somebody whose job it is in LA, and he just does the chandelier fall.
He makes chandeliers out
chandelier of, fall guy.
That's made out of sugar crystal. Like all fake glass is made out of sugar crystal. That's the fucking shit I need to start doing. Is making sugar crystal chandeliers for Hollywood
for like Atlanta Robbie. Because
oh yeah. The you new know, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Did you hear?
I bet they're not doing that in Atlanta.
Did you hear that I read something where they call Atlanta Yollywood?
Oh, that's, yeah. You oh, meant okay. to say that on
that's
the
fucked
air.
Up.
I don't know if I said it on the air, but
Yollywood.
Pretty
dude.
Fucking funny.
That is funny.
So, yeah.
So, okay. My next question, Eddie.
For chandelier based?
No, for producer of the year.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at producing.
How difficult is it going to be for me to wire two PC fans into a power supply for that I'm going to purchase from like the thrift store.
It shouldn't be too hard. I feel like you can run them probably in parallel depending on the power supply.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. And then I'm going to attach that to like a Rubbermaid box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Wait, what's going on?
I'm going to make a cooling box for miniatures as well as landscapes.
Oh, nice. Mm.
Got it. So I can start producing.
The top so the
air can get out. So they can breathe.
Caterpillars don't die. Yeah,
exactly. So that the bunny and the little woman who has fruit on her head can breathe.
Oh, dude. Okay, so now I just got a new inspiration for your tiny little landscape.
Oh, we're done talking about it until...
Oh, okay.
Somebody put a moratorium on that.
But if you just put a taxidermy caterpillar on there, it'd be like, you know, Revenge of Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, what something a huge, big. Yeah. What a huge small a creature.
Cockroach.
Yeah, just big cockroach. That's like a great idea,
that
really.
That would be so Athens, right?
Yeah, like exactly. Just a big cockroach.
Big ass fucking like, palmetto
just
bug.
Just dip it in.
Lacquer.
Lacquer.
Yeah, I can start getting to the cicada bug and just put it in the tree, you know, the gigantic cicada bug skin.
Like,
gosh, that would be easier, amazing.
And I feel like that would jive with what you got going on.
Oh, yeah. Attack of the insects.
Giant insects. Okay, what else are we talking about?
You want to read the review of Astra?
No, we've got a little more time to...
Just kill?
Oh, I was going to do my...
Yeah, you had some
I was going to read
here.
All my text messages to myself. I really felt like... of all people on this podcast, Desi would have at least encouraged me enjoyed this the most.
Okay. If you're listening, call us.
So I found out that the reason this has the widget in it is because they put nitrous in the beer beforehand.
Oh.
And that's what helps create the head. And that's why you'll now see these cold brews that also have nitrous in them that have the widget in them. So when you pour your cold brew, it creates the same head that Guinness does. But that's what the widget does is it helps activate
what is,
the...
What do you mean cold brew? What is cold brew?
Cold brew coffee.
Oh,
they're now canning it and pumping it with nitrous so that it creates a head just like a Guinness.
I'm not a fan of cold brew. It hits my stomach like a brick. It's just...
I had some mass-produced cold brew like a week ago, and it was okay, but right before that, I discovered they started producing this new monster that's yerba mate. So it's really not that sweet, which is my biggest complaint about monsters because the sugar in it, of any sort, like fake or not, makes me feel really gross afterwards.
Right.
So the yerba mate one like pumps me up.
Uh-huh.
And so I had both of those in one day.
What?
And it was within a few hours of each other, but luckily I did because it was very busy and I was working with a youngster.
Yeah.
But I was definitely on one after all that caffeine.
I would not physically enjoy that.
If I was just idle, I wouldn't have. But luckily, I had to stay as busy as possible, so it worked out really well for me.
Okay, Monster Mate and cold brew.
Hey, what's up,
Stump House?
Oh, is that Desi?
And I was about to talk some shit about Don.
What? Oh, shit.
Don Young? I was just thinking shit about Don.
Yeah?
Don.
What are you thinking?
It's too personal to say online.
Don Young,
on the podcast.
Damn, not gonna bury Don Young.
He should have been Me Too'd by now, right?
We've said that.
Oh, okay.
We've said that, and I'm sure he has.
Okay. A couple times over.
Yeah, I'm sure he has.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, Meg wanted to read some of her texts to herself, and she said that the only person that is usually on the podcast that would get it was you, so I called you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, here are the texts I wrote myself.
This is from Meg to Meg?
Yes.
Okay.
So, here's the first one, most playful before bed. most you outfit.
Wait, is this like awards you're giving out at Meadowlark's birthday party?
You got it.
Oh, really?
Wait, what was the second one, though? Yeah, super what is. Exactly.
Most you outfit.
Oh, nice.
Best decade of style.
Mm-hmm.
Movies based on podcasts.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, where to plant what? Garden landscaping. And then I said, come to think of it, we already did that one. And then I just realized how they wrote Seinfeld. They just thought about conversations that would be funny to have and weird interactions between people and wrote the plot around those outcomes.
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
That's actually pretty astute.
Yeah. Thank you, Cook. Oh, Carl. I thought that sounded like Cook, but I misheard.
That is Carl.
I know, that was a joke.
So I had a realization similar recently. I was at work and I was listening to Guar.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, Guar is exactly what Kiss would be like if Gene Simmons wrote all the songs. Like, because all of Gene Simmons' songs in Kiss are fucking Guar songs.
Okay. Mm.
Like,
so tell me what characterizes a Gene Simmons song.
It's very self-indulgent and uses a scary voice whenever he sings them. And like they're always about like how he's either like a sexual monster or he's a literal monster.
Okay.
Most literal or sexual monster.
Yeah.
Does Guar go on the sexual monster?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. They have a member called Sexecutioner.
Oh, okay.
And Balzac.
Were we off of your text messages already? I wanted to dissect that.
Oh, we might be able to go back to them, but you know, Donovan's realization about Guar was pretty good.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You can go on.
That was the end of my text messages to myself. The first one came about most playful at bedtime was because the kids were running around naked and having a really good time together. And I was like, why does this always happen? But then I was like, it's just human nature that you get really like rowdy before bed.
Or just antsy, feeling good. Like,
yeah,
relaxed,
just so like, like we hate each other, you know, most of the day. But right now you're my favorite person in the world.
Yeah, they were.
That's the conversation my ego and id have every night before bed.
When Rio is playful before bed, he humps his mattress.
Nice. Nice one, Rio.
It sounds like him and Carl have something in common.
This is Carl Jr. on the line.
Oh, you mean Hardee's out here. Yeah, that's Hardee's out
he's
here.
He's the founder of Hardee's Inc.
Carl Sr. up
that's
there.
Right.
Oh, sorry, Carl Sr.
I'd appreciate your respect.
My mistake. What was another one of your texts?
I gotta bring it back
the
up. The last one was about Seinfeld.
What possessed you to write that?
Good question. I'm not quite
sure.
She was
probably high.
I was probably high.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've just recently crossed this phenomenon that people text themselves, and I write notes to myself, like, but I've never texted myself before.
Huh. Yeah, I write notes. I have a notepad app on.
Okay.
Before having the phone, I would always have on my computers, and I would keep a running tab of notes to self on notepad.
I just did the text because I knew how to get to it easily, and I knew how to use the voice activation.
Oh.
So I voice activated him.
I also text myself.
Oh, you do.
It's
good.
Usually to do list style stuff.
Oh, it's
not
like,
yeah.
Hey, sexy, how
so,
you doing?
So, Carl Senior, can I ask you a style question?
A what question?
A style question.
About style.
Come again?
A style question.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course.
Can you describe your most you outfit? Like, yeah. If you were to pick it's specific items of clothing out of your collection.
You know what? Actually, that question's far too personal.
That is a personal question.
Would it come out of
sorry.
The... He has a drawer in his room labeled really. Thongs. Yeah. Would it come out of that drawer?
This is...
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
If you're just tuning into the podcast,
Carl,
we have,
I love that.
Carl Senior.
All of his
Dr.
drawers
Sharp
are labeled.
Line. And we're, you know, we're asking text message questions.
I felt like Carl had on a very him outfit last week.
Okay.
I think it was maybe a fart jar shirt that, you know, was cut way down, like the sleeves were cut off, like way down.
Yeah, I'm like the Venice Beach look.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah.
So you can Venice see his thorax in there.
Yes, exactly. And nipples and all of it. And
what are you calling insects nipples, Desi?
All the good stuff. And then maybe some camo pants.
Mm, that's a good look.
So pants, not shorts.
Okay. Shorts. I think pants really like are a good choice when you're wearing that bold of a top.
Were they cinched at the waist? And if so, what height?
What?
I know about these camo pants because he told me about them. He got them from Walmart. They're pretty good. They're a good looking tapered camo pants.
I gotta say the weather's been unpredictable lately. So pants or shorts?
Yeah, it could have been either one.
What day are you talking about?
Because day of the week or
yeah,
day of
Monday it was cold, and now it's like pretty warm.
This was Thursday.
On a hot day, I'd trade the camo pants for some black jeans cut off about 7.5 inches from the knee.
Oh, yeah, I've seen these jeans.
Sounds good.
It looks like he got caught in a wood chipper.
Okay, two questions about the cutoffs.
Castaway.
Actually, just one question about the cutoffs. So does the seam, the outside seam of the on the hips, does it get cut up so that there's like a flap or does it stay closed?
Do I cut just the legs of the pants or do I do alterations to the waist as well?
No, I'm not asking about that. I'm asking, do you do a little slit up the side of each hip, up the side of each leg?
So you can get your gam out.
So it's a little flappy at the bottom instead of, does anybody understand what I'm talking about?
You're talking about the triangle shape.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can bend the knee?
The triangle cut.
Yeah, and it's just a little more sexy. It brings a little sexy into it.
No, it doesn't. Frankly,
yeah, it does.
You're thinking that.
I had never even considered making that.
I think you're confusing being practical with being sexy.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, yeah. Unpractical means sexy.
Yeah.
I forgot.
That's
we live in Athens.
Practical.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But, I mean, what's more sexy than a practical pant?
Apparently nothing in
nothing
the world
is sexy about practical pants. Ask Mr. Elastic Waistband over here.
You know, I went elastic waistbands last year because, you know, the waistband is it's in constant flux. Like you eat a big meal or something,
yeah,
and it's like, I don't want like some rigid thing telling me how bad to feel.
No, I know. Honestly, I feel like that this second because of Uncle D's
enchiladas,
like, mushroom enchilada stew that I just ate a bowl of. Afterwards, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Gotta
wait, it was mushroom enchilada stew?
I don't know if it was stew.
It was just soup.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like when dad calls mom spaghetti soup. Just
no,
like,
okay. Carl
when's the soup ready?
Carl it's said he made this soup.
Back her up, Carl. All right. Well, do we have anything else to talk to these guys about?
Wait,
or
what's
we...
your topic tonight?
There isn't one. It's... Spring Roundup.
Oh, Spring Roundup. So Indy South, did you go?
Nope, didn't go.
What was your take on it?
My take was, will my children have a good time? They don't,
no,
they don't seem like they will.
They would have hated it. You're right about that. So bullet dodged. How about the vendors? How did you feel about like the selection?
From what I could tell from the photo ads, they looked. It's like, you know, always stepping up a level.
It was pretty top quality, I'd say.
Yeah.
Top shelf.
Yeah,
like
it looked top
Grey
shelf.
Goose.
Yeah.
And what do you think about the weather? Like, we were going to talk about that too. Or?
Yeah, it's been just pretty beautiful.
Oh, okay.
What's there to say about it?
All right.
I support the weather.
And all of this. And then Donovan's dioramas. That was another thing.
Oh, they're looking really good. I think he's even like being modest about how good they look.
They can be better.
What would do you think if he put like a giant taxidermied caterpillar just right through the middle of one of them?
Wow, I've never seen that.
Oh,
that's
he decided to generate the most money.
I'm going
Wolverine.
For like money. Oh yeah, Wolverine. He like said, just a little figurine of Wolverine standing in one.
That would make the most
riding
money, he said.
Maybe riding a caterpillar?
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. There we have it. Okay. Once again.
That's up to 150 now.
Copyright.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be very interested in a diorama with Wolverine riding a caterpillar through those pear trees. Lime trees.
And Cyclops would be being crushed beneath, definitely dead.
Yeah, just.
You hate Cyclops?
Everyone hates Cyclops.
Well.
What's wrong with Cyclops? There's I gotta like it.
Oh, actually, after we get off this phone call, I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with Cyclops. So you guys will have to tune into the podcast to hear what's wrong with Cyclops.
Do you guys
want to
stick around for trivia? We can do a real quick trivia, and then you can go.
Yeah, we'll do 2.5 minutes of trivia.
All right, here we go. It's Cool Don's fucking trivia section.
Oh, I don't want to do the hunting and fishing.
Come on.
Yard. Okay, this is.
Yeah, who's Cool Don?
This is CNET, and the question is, what 1985 to 1992 sitcom used "Thank You for Being a Friend" as "Thank You for Being a Friend" as the theme song?
Do you want me to answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Does anybody else know?
I feel like I've seen it, but I don't know what it is.
I was gonna say Rhoda.
Does he?
It's Golden Girls.
It is Golden Girls.
Nice, very good.
All right.
Okay.
You're the only one moving on.
Okay.
Nice.
Another scene. It. What movie involves a basement, Bohemian Rhapsody, and babes?
Ugh.
Wayne's World.
Very good.
On nice. It.
Nice.
Okay.
Schwing.
Schwing.
Oh, this is Trivial Pursuit Junior.
Oh my God.
This
shit.
One's for you, Carl.
What fruit has its seeds on the outside?
A fruit with the seeds on the outside.
That's a strawberry.
Ooh. Oh, I thought it was Ben Rice.
That would be a strawberry.
Correct.
Nice one. Another scene.
That's all three bags. Oh, keep going.
Okay, who played Wonder Woman's kid sister, Dursala, a.k.a. Wonder Girl? I mean, I don't know the time
Dursala?
Frame of this.
like the Little Mermaid
Dursala.
Villain.
But this is
like Ursula.
Like the battery.
Yeah.
I do not know this.
Dursala. Like,
look, man.
Robin
Let's
Wright.
Just call her Dursala.
No one knows the answer.
Can I
it's
see?
It's Deborah Winger.
Ooh. Oh. Okay. No one moves
Dursala.
On. No one collects $200.
No, Desi got three right. Was it three or four that you have to
three.
Get right?
I think it was like
five. She won all three rounds this week. Good job, Desi.
Yay.
You and I are both in that winner's bracket winning all three rounds.
Well, thank you guys for the phone call. We'll finish up and we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay. I can tell you exactly what is wrong
now
with Cyclops.
That they're gone.
And I was thinking about this earlier as to why the Beatles aren't the best.
What? Okay,
I told my boss, I was like, I didn't know he was a Beatles fan. And after I talked with you guys about the Beatles, I was like, what's up? And like, I kind of like, was like, what's the deal? And he was
people
like,
actually
why,
like this
you know,
band?
And he'd be like, why would anyone insult the Beatles? Like that is like insulting, like, you know, chocolate. Like there's no reason. It's just good. It's perfect. And this is exactly what's wrong with Scott Summers, Cyclops.
Okay.
The Beatles and Superman is they're all vanilla and like they ain't got no soul.
This
they're
is
just they're all so nice and so Boy Scouty that it's
you're
like
so
it's
wrong
no fun.
Though.
Oh yeah. Well, of course you'd say that, but that is what
I
it
feel
doesn't,
like. It's unfair to lump the Beatles in with Scott Summers.
You
like, first of all. Maybe you could, but I will concede that you could lump Paul McCartney in with them.
Yeah, so I think what you're seeing is Paul McCartney.
And Ringo.
And Ringo.
Yeah,
the surviving Beatles are a little vanilla,
so
even though I
ones,
love them.
The living ones.
Yeah.
They're
not dead.
I mean, but ultimately, what is loved about the Beatles
is love?
Their dynamic. Like, they're just so interesting individuals.
I think it's probably their songs.
It's definitely the story of the Beatles is compelling.
It's like Nirvana. Well.
It's like Harry Potter. It's like a great story.
It's just like being born on Krypton, shipped out as it was about to explode, landing in a cornfield to Ma and Pa Kent, completely straight, and then going and saving Metropolis.
Then you meet your dark friend,
fucking Batman.
Okay, that's Jack Paul Nicholson. McCartney.
No, that's Jack Nicholson.
No, Jack Nicholson was a Joker.
That was Paul McCartney John Lennon.
No, that was Jack Nicholson meeting the monkeys.
Oh, okay.
Nicholson meeting the monkeys. Like
that's a big thing.
Your Superman analogy is kind
it
of...
Is?
Yeah.
It's kind of... It holds weight. It holds water.
I get why you say that. But I'm not
fucking wrong.
It's not true in my
heart. All their music is so vanilla, like.
But the thing, okay, wait,
and you live your life by it, and that's why you're having a hard time arguing. It is like they're.
Oh, Tyler.
No, that's not.
I'm not trying to be
the thing. The thing about the Beatles and the thing about Superman is that they had good timing. And honestly, if Superman were to come to Earth today, I kind of feel like he'd be fucked. Like. If he landed in like rural Nebraska or wherever he landed, like those are all that's like Trump country right now. And I don't think he would be as welcome as he was back in the 40s? Like
40s.
When did he land? Yeah.
41,
so,
I think.
Like the Beatles kind of they just got the timing right because they're not doing anything too revolutionary, but they're doing it at the right time. And
they were doing revolutionary things, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
yeah, this
if
is for a different podcast.
Yeah,
this
is my defending the Beatles to the death podcast.
I was also washing dishes when like I had this like rationalization
can agree that like Superman had good timing.
And yeah, also somebody, I mean, your whole approach to this also is that if it's popular enough, that means it's
not
good.
True. No, that's not true at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's not about the popularity. It's about the message. Same message as Superman. Same message as the Boy Scouts. Same message as Scott Summers.
Well,
same message as the Beatles,
which is, you might not be familiar with all their songs.
One another.
Like,
and everything was going to be
happiness is a warm gun, though, right? Like, that was about heroin addiction. So,
which was that over a summer in the Isle of Wight?
See, okay, but there's also something to be said for there's a transcendence of lyrics that happens in music where it's like a lot of music. It's like who cares how subversive the words are? That's not the message of the song.
I shouldn't have.
It's a can of worms.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
okay.
I'm a Stones person.
Of the few things I'm passionate about,
I know. No, no,
the
exactly. Maybe I'll defend something someday.
Oh, man, the Stones' first album, though, like,
yeah, Judas Priest's first album stinks too. You know, sometimes that happens.
You're saying it stinks, or you're saying it was really good?
I don't think it was good at all.
Oh, okay.
And I also think. But that was because of timing. I feel like if the Rolling Stones had got a later start, they just could have been. I don't know. Timing. I feel like timing is really important with music. And
in Lemmy's autobiography, he says that growing up in England at the time, everyone was a Beatles fan. And the fact that he was a Rolling Stones fan, they would like regularly call him the F word.
Yeah.
And like. Like push him down and like he was like widely insulted and like treated poorly for being a Rolling Stones fan at that time.
I feel like the Beatles made way for a lot of that to happen, and like music history wouldn't be the same without them, obviously, but really just like if the Rolling Stones had come first, who knows what would have happened, you know? Like I just kind of feel like,
oh well, this got
let's get
into the can of
this
worm.
Is a different
let's,
podcast.
Let's hear the
sure.
Reviews.
All right. Cool.
Oh, for the
three bags
razors.
Full of reviews.
So these guys, Donovan has probably talked about it before, but a single blade razor, is that what they're called?
It's called a double edge.
A double edge razor.
Because there's a blade on each side. You'll see them. They used to be ubiquitous that you see the outline. And What in the fucking world?
It's way too loud.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, well, that's the intro to the
Iraq.
Most terrific yeah. part of our podcast.
Yep. PTSD.
So these are the Astra Superior Platinum Double Edge 5. And then in some other language, it says C with the little line below it.
It's Russian because they're made in Russia.
Kif Trafilgilit. And so let's just read the reviews from top to bottom. Oh, wait, I have to skip to the reviews. Sorry, these are the Amazon reviews. And the first review that comes up is a one-star review from Darren
That's
Cecil.
Great.
And his topic is, the right blade was received from this vendor and appears very different, although both are supposed to be Astra Superior. And then he posted a picture.
That was a terrible review.
That's usually, yeah. that's most one-star reviews tend to be people who are...
did not receive the right thing.
Second review.
Not, or confused.
Did not receive the amount of brain cells they were promised.
Second
the way
review
out
is
the door.
Also one star, and it's from Halloween Love last year. I don't know why.
Well, they're probably getting ready to go trick-or-treating.
I'm not all that picky about blades, but recently Astra has gone... Oh, the topic is, what happened to Astra blades? But recently Astra has gone way downhill in quality. These blades are dull. They nick and tug at my facial hair, and even worse, the blade surface is uneven. Cuts more in some spots and less in others. I've been using Astra blades for years. The older blades, which are sharp and smooth, show the name brand on in black on both sides. I don't know if that's important. The newer blades, which are awful, are lightly etched with the brand named on one side.
Like a real branding.
No, I got it. No, I understand. Maybe I hope that there isn't something wrong. I hope that there's not.
I hope they have black writing on the side of them.
Some people are wondering if these are counterfeit, but I don't think so. It seems they come from the same factory in Russia. If I knew how to order the old ones, I would, but they all have the same product number on Amazon. In the meantime, I've switched to a blade made in Japan, and
feather.
It's far superior.
It's feather. He's talking about feather.
Wow. He didn't mention
that's number one sharpest. He can.
So this is the Beatles and the Stones
yeah.
of the double blade.
Yeah, feather is the Stones, and the Beatles are Astra.
Okay. Like right. somewhere along the line, they just changed.
No, actually, you're absolutely right. Feather would be the Beatles because they're good for the first shave. Whereas Astra have the staying power of 5 to 6.
This Feather fan's review just
you know he
my
has
mind.
Wished to Feather.
I know he's well.
Okay, well,
former
let's
Astra's
read a,
fan.
Here's a 5-star, and this guy mentions feathers. His name is Jared - Mr. Everything.
Oh,
and
sounds
his,
dreamy.
His topic is great blades for the price, April 5th, 2016. I think he's a surfer, maybe.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it.
Mr. Everything.
I recently started wet shaving earlier this year, and I've been using the Vanderhagen blades that came bundled with the safety razor. However, you only get 5, so I had to look for a box of quality blades, and these seem to be the best deal you can get.
I don't think he's sounding very surfer.
Yeah, he is.
Among other few brands, the Astras seem to be among the best in quality and sharpness.
I love it.
And supposedly are right in between the personas and feathers. So I figured they would be the best middle ground to use as a beginner wet shaver. They come in a nice, sleek box. Holy shit. I have to click read more at this point. Oh, no. This is 3. This is like 5 paragraphs.
Go to the bottom of the pros and cons. I'm sure he has a pros and cons.
Yeah, so the summary paragraph. I'm skipping 3 paragraphs now. Although I do like the feel of the Vanderhagen blades, and will probably experiment with other blades in the future.
Boring review.
I really like these Astra blades because I get a really close shave every time and rarely get any cuts if I do. They're much smaller. Oh my god.
It's like people just want to share their experience.
Yeah, he's just like, this is his social network, like Amazon reviews.
Dude, let's talk about blades.
He's drunk at Gobar talking to Jake.
All right, summary, about summary what sentence. Right, it's now like 100 words in his summary sentence. All in all, I think these are the best quality blades you can get for the price and would pair very nicely with the Vanderhagen Butterfly Razor instead of using their overpriced and more aggressive blades, especially if you are a beginner with this as your first double-edged razor.
What a dickhead. I would want to never wet shave again. I almost want to take a Mach 3 back to my face after that.
This is the company you keep.
Hey, my dad used to say, you're only as good as your friends.
That's nice. That's nice to think about. I like my friends. Do we have a, let's like, I'm ready to get out of that mode.
Out of this
mode?
Yeah. Are there a snack for us? How are those beers? We cooled them down.
Oh yeah. They cooled quickly. They made my tongue large and fleshy and, big in my mouth. So it's hard to speak around.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know what snack I'm going to have later. Okay. Coconut popsicle.
Oh wow.
What's your favorite snack of the week?
Snack?
That's
of
my
the
favorite
week.
Snack of the week. Coconut popsicle. Popsicle.
What's your favorite snack of the week?
I mean, so I thought about bringing some pickled broccoli in here.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Then I realized I bring too many pickled things.
Right. So you're in the soury, vinegary thing.
Yeah, I didn't want people who listen to the podcast to think that I only like
pickled things.
Where
do you
land
on kombucha?
I can make it. I'm a fantastic grower.
But, like, consumer-wise.
I can really make a good kombucha.
You're just not that into drinking it?
I think maybe we should go around.
No, I'll slug it, dude. Mine will make you shit.
Oh, thank you. It's
yeah.
You could also
it's not
put,
the goal of every food to make you shit a lot.
And what was the other thing that you said would make you shit? Like,
I think that food would disagree, Meg.
You know,
some of it's got to stick to your bones, you know?
My favorite snack recently has been peanuts, like roasted.
Oh, no, I love them. In the shell?
Unsalted peanuts, yeah, in the shell.
I like them in the shell. So I was at Sam's Club. This is actually the snack of the week. You're right. You got it right. The nail on the head.
Whoa.
I went to Sam's Club with Cook, and they had a 5-pound bag of roasted in the shell peanuts. And I used to buy these things regularly. And I would burn through that motherfucker in like 2 weeks.
Mm.
And now I looked at it, I was like, holy God, that's a lot of fucking peanuts.
Yeah.
I think really want it. Like, I hovered around that bag of peanuts for like 30 seconds being like, should I? Shouldn't I? Should I? And I was like, there's no way. Like,
you didn't
they're too
do
messy.
It?
They're too many. Too many.
Too many, and they're messy.
Exactly.
So for us, like,
I just go for it.
Metalurg's been into the J&J peanuts, like,
oh,
the
yeah.
ones that are roasted at the... he almost fell out of his chair.
Wait, Eddie, are those salted?
They're unsalted.
They're not salted.
Yeah. And
finally,
I mean, we've
finally
been,
a definitive answer.
We've been buying them for months
wondered?
Now.
It's, oh, no. Every time I go to the J&J,
uh-huh.
I wonder...
Yeah, we talk about
are they salted?
We've
are those
about
salted?
Yeah.
Okay, and you've never just popped out, you know, popped out
$1.
Yeah,
a
popped a wally out of your wally.
Yeah,
a wally out of your wally.
Yeah, this is the J&J. If I'm wally's coming loose from hither pocket, something serious must be acquired that day.
So either
okay,
way,
so the bag of peanuts would be like your. I did well today.
If they see my, if they see my wallet, they're gonna start gathering around like fruit flies.
I gotta say, those peanuts kind of like started my infatuation with peanuts, and so we started getting into Kroger roasted, unsalted in the.
Why
shell
do y'all
peanuts.
Eat unsalted?
I don't know.
I understand why, because of the sodium intake and, you know, high blood pressure. But unsalted peanuts do not taste great.
Well, okay, so
these ones do. It depends, because the
We have kids. The quality. And you have to crack the nuts variant. For the kids. And, like, if they like it less, that means you can have more of it, kind of.
So
like,
you,
I'm, like, into unsalted.
It's an
because,
event.
Like, they're not going to like it that much.
The salted
and
rice.
I'll go ahead and,
next
like,
time
have
I
more.
Go to Sam's Club, I will get the 5-pound bag. That's where I should have got Meadowlark for her birthday. It was a 5-pound bag of peanuts. All right,
so, like,
she literally yeah. squirrels it away. Behind her bed.
So we bought the Kroger brand, and they're just not as good as the J&J. Like,
of course not.
Honestly, they were shitty. And like, they were burnt and like ugly. Like some of the shells you'd open, and you'd have like little like raisins. In
and
there.
It's Kroger brand.
Yeah, this is the Kroger brand. So then they had like a Jumbo Peanuts brand.
No, Jumbo's good.
And Jumbo's
they were
good.
Better.
Jumbo
yeah.
is badass.
So like, you step up in price by like 30 cents uh-huh. or something. And you get a bag of, like, decent-ass
I'm
peanuts.
Glad to hear that Jumbo's making it big, because they really are the best.
But, honestly, I don't think you can beat J&J peanuts. Like
the J&J ones.
And you're getting good. Unsalted Jumbos?
Unsalted yeah. Jumbos.
That's my mommy's unsalted Jumbos.
Did you say mommy?
My mom eats oh. Jumbo peanuts.
I thought you said my unsalted. Mommy Jumbo peanuts.
My mommy Jumbo peanut.
But I have kids, and that's like common for me to hear. So I think J&J top tier peanuts, right, Meg? Or
oh yeah, I was also going to mention that it almost seems like they're different. They're different. I want what.
One variant peanut of, to rule them all.
What different variant of a peanut? Like a different
freshy peanut. They're probably Valencias.
What do you call it?
They're probably Valencia peanuts because that's what Mexicanos.
Yeah, they're eat. Smaller.
They're smaller. They have more peanuts in the
yes.
The, that, those are they're
exactly.
definitely Valencias. They're Valencias.
Okay.
And another,
yeah, and the Kroger ones are much bigger.
Another those, side.
I just
story. Want to
say those are considered California.
Okay.
I'm not
okay.
certain though.
No. Okay. This is information that I wanted.
Another side story about peanuts is I'm teaching Meadowlark to, I say, what do boiled peanuts taste like? And she goes, oh, garbage water.
That and, yeah. stinks. But Valencia peanuts, best place to acquire them, Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. Like raw or?
Yeah, unsalted or just they have Valencia peanuts.
They're
there.
Roasted though?
Most
like raw peanuts.
Most
I'm
of
not gonna
your like Whole Food and other stores will have Valencias because they're considered better for you.
Oh, okay.
That was cool. It. That was so much
snack review.
So much
peanuts
snack.
Are my favorite food. George Washington Carver is my personal celebrity.
Man, peanut butter is great. All right, that's it for this podcast. We're done. Thanks for listening. AthensPublic@gmail.com. Tweet at us at AthensPublic. I'm going to take a picture of that diorama and post it
cool.
on our Twitter right now. And then you can buy it.
What about Instagram?
We don't
have that.
I don't have that. Murdoch okay. cassettes. Murdoch_cassettes.
Oh, okay.
At Instagram. I can't really. Oh, rodent_population. But we'll be back sometime. I think we're doing like 2 a month now. And you guys chill out. Like, don't fuck with us.
Come back.
We love
Come
you.
Come back and hear us.
We'll see you next time. Have a good night.